Sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the most popular morning show anywhere on the internet. You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, right here on LA Talk Radio. If you'd like to take part in the show today, give us a call at 323-203-0815. And now your program hosts, Sam and Mia.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, January 20th. We're back from the weekend, the long weekend, huh, Mia?
A very long weekend.
We took Friday off.
Lovely long weekend.
Yeah.
Lots of fun.
I know. Oh, you did have a lot of fun. Well, we'll hear all about it. We've had like amazing weather in LA. I mean, it's just amazing, you know. But it means a drought, of course. They're saying it's the worst drought ever.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. That's not a good sign, man.
No, it's not. Yeah. I know, and that's the thing. That's why I was like a little bit frightening. It's like as happy as, you know, I was about the weather being so amazing. It's like, it's a little scary because it's like, it's just not normal. Like
it's not normal.
It's not supposed to be like, usually around this time we, you know, it's kind of like our little bit of a rainy season.
Exactly.
We haven't seen anything.
January, February, usually it rains. But, so it's funny because the weather... People don't have anything much to say about the weather. So they're predicting like a month ahead. Oh, in February, we're probably going to have a storm or something.
Oh,
it's like,
yeah, of course.
Give me a break, you know.
There's usually storms in, you know, February. Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty easy prediction to make, right? I mean, you know, nobody's going to remember it a month from now anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, how about that?
Yeah.
No rain at all.
No rain. So anyway, a happy Monday to everybody. Today is Martin Luther King Day.
It is.
And that's if you notice, the streets are empty pretty much, right? And
I flew here today. There was nobody on Laurel Canyon. I was like, what is going on? I'm like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
MLK Day.
MLK Day.
That's what it is.
The banks are closed.
Government jobs are on break.
Yeah, exactly. Which seems like the whole city because nobody's on the streets today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So, I guess schools are out and things like that, right? Or schools in on it?
I'm trying to remember. Like growing up, if we had this day off.
Yeah. It's, the thing is, I think just by the empty streets, we can tell that people are probably not going to school today.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
I don't know. You know that, I was in Vegas this weekend, and one thing I was reminded of,
what was the weather like over there? Was it still pretty cold?
No.
When I was there, it was kind of cold.
No, it was the same. I mean, you know, it goes down to like about the 40s at night, but it's not any colder than here.
Yeah.
You know? And during the day, it was like 65 or something, you know. Mm. So, yeah, I know it was fine, you know. But
how was it?
So it was good. You know, I went to the AVN show, which is the Adult Video News magazine.
Well, that's what it stands for.
Yeah, they throw this Oscars-like event, but there's also a convention that goes with it. Now, to the awards, you can only go in if you're invited, you know.
Uh-huh.
So even though I went in as press. They don't let you into the awards. So I went to the convention floor, and it's pretty unusual. You know, it's not like CES where you went
last week. I'm sure it's incredibly different.
Yeah, so it's incredibly different, you know. But I wanted to say something about Vegas, and I totally forgot because, you know, I used to live there. And it's changed so much now. You know, I mean, the traffic is like horrendous there.
Oh my gosh, I know.
The traffic is horrendous, and especially around the Strip. So I learned my lesson this time, and I'm not staying on the Strip anymore. They have like the Standard, which is a great hotel. They have the Westin, and those are like a block away from the Strip, and they seem a lot cooler. You don't have to get caught up in all the traffic.
I just walked.
You walked?
Yeah. Like from MGM to Aria, and I had like my training and stuff. I just walked. It was awesome.
No way I was going to walk there. You know, the walk is long enough from the parking lot into the casino.
I know.
You know, it's like unless you do valet. But the reason I didn't do valet is because there are so many people in town because of all the conventions this week and last week that the lines at the valet were long, you know, waiting
for
your car.
Well, it's free now.
Yeah. It's always been free in Vegas.
No, I think because when I was there, I was like, oh, it's free. Like, yeah. They kind of recently did that with all the hotels, but not all of them were free. And it used to be really expensive. So they said that's kind of like a recent thing that all the
Well, I don't know who told you that, Mia, but I lived in Vegas in the 70s and in the 90s.
No. I believe you.
And it's always been free. I remember that. Huh. Because you see, like buffets used to be like $2.99 or something. They do anything to bring people in, you know, and so that's why at a casino there's a lot of things you don't pay for. I mean, you know, like obviously the valet and stuff, but also, you know, if you sit at a machine or at a table, you can order a drink and save 10, 15 bucks, you know. I tipped them nicely, but it's still a free drink. So, you know, there's a lot of things in the casino that they'll do just to bring you in and get you to play.
Yeah,
and
true.
I never gamble, you know, but I went by myself because it was so last minute, and not just everybody would go to an adult show, you know. So and it sucks going alone. I got to tell you, you know, I mean, look, the drive wasn't bad. I put on music and all that stuff. It was fun.
Yeah,
and yeah, sometimes you just get away. It gives you time to think a little bit. But you know, once you get there and stuff, it's not easy. So you go into the convention floor, and you know what? There, it doesn't really matter if you have someone or not because it's so packed.
Oh yeah,
it was so huge. And so, you know, mainly they had like booths from all the movie producers and stuff. You know, the distributors, the companies that produce all the movies. A lot of adult toys, obviously. And but the major part of this was porn stars just standing around and signing autographs, taking pictures, things like that, you know. And that was like a sight in itself, you know. I mean, I was just sitting there.
I'm sure it was.
And I realized, as a man, you know, it's like everything is a blur except the girls, you know. You have like thousands of men there, you know, from every walk of life, ugly, handsome, young, old, you know, anything. And they're all gawking at the girls.
Were there any females that were there? Like,
Yeah, there are. Oh, wow. And in fact, some of the, you know, just the visitors to the show, they dress up all pretty sexy too. Some of them do. I mean, there's women that are into porn and sex. And besides, it's also like an industry event. And you'll be amazed at how many women run adult companies.
A lot of them.
And which is a nice thing, you know, because you don't want it to be all male dominated, which it still is, but at the same time, there's a lot going on, you know, so that was encouraging to see. But, you know, watching all these men and everything, you realize, you know what, it's a basic instinct for a man to be like that, just to look at beautiful women, you know, and there's nothing we can do about it. I mean, we look like dogs doing it, but it's just like it's evolution, you know, that have made us look stupid.
Oh boy!
But yeah, so that was good, and and I met a couple people there, which was nice. But I didn't go to any of the parties because I felt I'm not going to a party alone. You know, it's just not. I don't know. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, you can meet people.
No, you can meet people, of course. But, you know, I mean, I don't mingle that easily, you know. So it depends, you know. It obviously always helps if you know someone in the group.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, to just go to parties that are with hundreds of people and, you know, just You know, and they all know each other, you know. It's a small industry.
Right.
So they all know each other, and I don't. So I would have felt like an outsider there. So I went more as a
Did you run into Erica McLean?
No, I did not run into her because she arrived on the day that I was leaving.
Oh,
because she came for the awards. Yeah, she was invited to the awards.
Right.
So, and these awards are, you know, I mean, like I said, I didn't go, but I know all about them. Mm-hmm. And it's a trip, you know. We were talking about this the other day, but all the accomplishments that they get awarded for is just amazing, you know.
What kind of accomplishments?
I'm like sort of categories, curious. Like, you know, best blowjobs, best double anal, you know, and all these things.
Oh my God!
I know. Best gangbang, best newcomer, you know, new performer, and
newcomer.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Got that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you know, it's an experience. You know, it's definitely an experience.
Yeah.
You know, and you feel the sex in the air and everything, and a lot of it. You know, I mean, you can't help but think that a lot of sex is being cheapened by the industry, by all kinds of things. I mean, some of the accessories and the toys that they have are just like, you go, how can people even possibly use this stuff? You know, and they don't even look like toys anymore. Today, they look like products that came from Apple or something. All the vibrators and all this stuff. I mean, they look so nice, you know.
Like,
and they don't
even, electronic contraptions.
Exactly. They don't even look like vibrators. And so you have everything. You have some for the G-spot. You have some for anal. You have some for, my God, you know, I don't know. But, you know, some people, I guess they need the variety. They need the spice in their life. And they're curious,
try
you know.
Things.
Yeah, I'm sure it enhances their lives. You know, I know that in bed with a woman in toys, it's kind of distracting to me. I don't know. I don't feel it's like sort of like going with the flow. And especially when the vibrator starts making noise and stuff, it's like, oh man, that kills the whole fucking mood.
Kills the vibe. The vibrator kills the vibe.
Yeah, exactly.
I am full of jokes this morning.
Yes, you are.
Really bad jokes.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But yeah, I had a little incident. By the way, we're going to have a guest calling in a couple minutes.
Oh, that's right.
Her name is Susan Schofield, and she does a show on the station here. She has for a long time, so we'll talk to her about that. And she's very, very outspoken, and she speaks well and stuff. So we'll talk to her and talk about all kinds of things, I guess. She'll probably want to talk about mental health and stuff, and you know, so maybe we'll get into that. But, God, it's hard for me to talk this morning because I feel my throat is being like...
Is it like really dry?
Yeah,
like,
not
mine
dry,
is too. I mean, my voice, you know, my voice is always a little like scratchy, but I feel like today it's a little extra scratchy.
I don't know. For me, it just feels like I'm overexerting my throat, which I'm not. But maybe it's because I don't have coffee. I mean, you see this mug I have here?
I see it.
I left the coffee bean
mug.
Well,
fancy.
Well, the thing is... No, all I meant is that I bring this every day with my coffee.
Right.
So, you know, I was out of town when my maid came in on Friday. Oh, here's Susan. So let's take Susan's call and then we'll get back to this.
Okay.
And see. Good morning. You're on the air. Susan.
Yes.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I have a few moments to myself right now. We have a respite care worker that is with Bodie right now, and Jannie actually went out with some friends.
Oh, wow. That's cool. So let's introduce
Which
you to
great.
Everybody. Yeah. Well, let's let people know who Bodie and Jannie is. And these are your kids, and you have two kids.
Yes.
I also wanted to introduce you as the host of Bipolar Nation, which is on
That's
the station
right.
every Sunday at 11 a.m. Right here on the station.
And proudly.
And you've
proudly
done.
Proudly, we are 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. That's a long time, Susan. And
I know.
And you still have a lot to say, which is amazing, you know. So,
you know what? It doesn't end because even in 40 years, after 40 years, the mental health care system is actually worse than it was 40 years ago.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting is I'm going through what I went through with Jannie 5 years ago. I'm going through the same thing with Bodie. And you would expect that in 5 years it would have gotten better.
Right.
Instead, it's gotten worse.
Oh, wow. So tell people what it is that you were going through with him.
Well, right now, first of all, Jani has schizophrenia, and that was diagnosed when she was 6 years old. She's 11 right now. She's doing very well, better than anybody expected. The school district, the doctors at UCLA, everybody. This is incredible. But she's also on the right medication. She's on Clozaril, also known as clozapine, and she takes 200 milligrams of that a day, plus Thorazine, 75 milligrams to 100 a day.
Wow.
And
so these are strong meds and stuff, you know. I mean,
and
I think it's pretty well established that her case is pretty extreme, and so they featured her on Oprah and on many other TV shows out there, because of her. It's a unique thing that she's going through, and I would imagine. So now you're saying that your son is starting to show the same symptoms?
Oh, he's been showing the same symptoms for a while, but he's also a little bit more autistic. And these mental illnesses, along with autism, are very similar in their behaviors. The only real difference is with schizophrenia, you have the hallucinations.
Mm.
With autism, it's not so much of you don't have the hallucinations. And with Bodhi, he's still a mixed bag, and that's been even harder because he may actually have autism and schizophrenia. We don't know for sure.
God.
We're still in the middle of it, and that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Because we know with Jani, thankfully, we know the right meds, they work. With Bodhi, we're at we have all the interventions early, and we had him from the time he was two. So that was the good news. But, you know, it's still, as far as the medication goes, right now he's on Seroquel and lithium, and he's doing pretty well along with his therapies. But I had to watch him in the hospital go through medications that I knew were going to be bad for him. But I had to follow doctor's orders, which I did, and watch them give him things like Abilify, which made him worse.
Wow.
Now, that's not a bad medication for some people, but for him, it was bad. And also Adderall. We had to do kind of an Adderall test, which I approved of, because that can rule out ADHD. If you are truly ADHD, a medication like Adderall will make your brain just go slower so you can function. If you are not ADHD, if you have a mood disorder or psychosis or schizophrenia, any of those type of illnesses, then what will happen is your brain will go extremely high and you'll be so happy and have all this energy and then go into an extreme rage,
which
is worse than ever.
Wow, wow. So it increases their level.
And that's what happened to him.
Rather than mellowing them out, it makes them even more energetic so that they get to the point where it becomes like explosive.
Exactly. And that's where you have to draw the line. You have to do a lot of fine-tuning with medications because what we learned with Jani early on was that the medications that bring her down are the ones that she needs because she already has tons of energy.
Right.
And I feel, and this is where I've had to work with the doctors and, you know, and follow their orders, but I knew already Bodhi does not need the medications that make him happy because they will also make him crazy. And that has been proven. So now we are finally, I actually had to go through that knowing. So I had to watch in the emergency room, my son in restraints, as the nurse was, as ordered, to give him a dose of Abilify, which I knew was going to make him worse. 10 minutes later, he goes into an extreme rage, and of course then they have to give him you know, the medications to bring him down from that extreme rage. But I had to watch that. But I did, because I had to follow the doctor's orders. And I mean, in all fairness, I had to see too if that was really happening, because you don't know how the medications are going to affect you personally, and it's very individualized.
Right. Wow. So now, Susan, I mean, you know, I've been following you and all your postings and we've talked and stuff. And it's got to be like a nightmare for you guys to live like this every day with two children that probably don't understand what is happening to them, and it takes all of your focus.
Actually, they do have insight. Thank God my kids have that intelligence that often goes with mental illness.
Yeah.
It's not usually mutually exclusive. They do have the insight. Jannie has extreme insight. Bodhi has it too. He's just not as verbal.
Oh, wow. So they understand that something's going on with him, right?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow.
In fact, when Bodhi would go into these rages, in between them all, he would actually be saying, I need medicine. I need a shot.
Wow.
And that is, as a parent, especially when you're looking around at doctors that are still not sure because of his age what to do, very frustrating, because I've already been through this before. With Jannie, I didn't know anything. This time, I actually do know something, and that's actually more frustrating to me.
Yeah. Now, you've had a lot of difficulties with the mental health system and stuff. I know you you always are very outspoken about it. What are some of the things, I mean, that make you feel that way? I mean, how are they screwing things up for us?
Okay, well, I'll tell you, this is, for the child level, this is what happens. Like, okay, this is what actually happened the most recent turn of events. It was, our dog Honey died, who was 15 years old.
Oh, we're sorry.
And that was very traumatic. We knew, well, it wasn't traumatic as in she's old, we knew she was dying, but we didn't know how Jannie was going to react to this. So on that day, my husband, it was actually the night that she went into a seizure. So my husband, you know, goes to get her put down. We talked to her before she went, you know, to sleep. We knew it was coming, but we didn't know how Jannie was going to react the next day. So he went to our friend Juliet's house, brought her back here, which was the first time, actually, we've done this. And she spent the night so that the next morning when Jannie woke up, and we have all the behaviors that are here for Jannie and Bodhi, so tons of people are in and out of our place, so we would be able to soften the blow. And it worked. It actually worked out just fine, and Jannie was able to cope with it. It was great. For Bodhi, it was neither here nor there anyway, because he does not have the same kind of bond to Honey that Jannie did, you know, for how many years, for her whole life.
Yeah.
Now, but this all plays into things, because then the next day, Jannie had her appointment with Dr. Woodall in Glendale, child psychiatrist, and her usual routine is to go to the Burbank Mall before that, and then we go to Dr. Woodall because it's closer to Glendale than where we live in Valencia. So, because Michael had been up all night, I decided, and this was totally my decision, I decided to let him sleep here at home, and I would go with Juliet, with Bodhi and Jannie, because both of their appointments were simultaneous. Jannie's is 2:30, his is 2:45, just to make things easier. That's how it was.
Right.
Anyway, so we get to Burbank Mall. Bodhi freaks out. Which is not unusual for him. And he doesn't want to go to the mall. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He's given us a hard time, and we don't want it to escalate. Jannie is also giving us a hard time because she wants to go to the mall.
Right.
We can't be at two places at once.
Wow.
I can't drive alone with Bodhi in the car because he will, if he goes crazy, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, again, my decision. I said, you know what, let's just go the 10 minutes away to Dr. Woodall's office in Glendale, because it's 10 minutes away. I know we can get there, and then we'll tell her that we need to we need to see her really quickly, and then we need to cancel that appointment at 2:30 and 2:45. So that's what we do. And we get there. But by the time we get there, Bodhi's escalated, and he's going into a rage again. Jannie's fine, thank God, but he is still going out. So anyway, we tell the personnel there, and this is, mind you, a psychiatrist's office. This is not a grocery store. This is a psychiatrist's office. So we're there. He's going crazy. You know, the patients that are all filled in the office are looking at him like, you know, okay, well, we're in a psychiatrist's office.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I mean,
oh.
you know.
Uh-huh.
I do find the humor in this, okay? Yeah. I do. I do see the humor in this. So anyway, but the office manager apparently, I guess, doesn't have any idea what psychosis or autism or whatever anything is going on here. And she says, you got to take this out to the lobby. I said, no, we can't do that. The lobby is concrete. It's, you know, it's a hard floor. This is carpet. We have to stay here. We just have to see Dr. Woodall for 5 minutes and talk to her about what is going on here, and then we can go. And but nothing happened. We're waiting there. It's escalating. And finally, my friend Juliet says, this is an emergency. And I said, I know. So we have to call the paramedics then. And so what we do is we tell the office, call the paramedics. So the paramedics come, but before they come, there's a Glendale police officer who comes.
Wow.
And he says to us, what's the problem? And as we're going through the whole thing with Bodie, and we're like, this is the problem. And my friend Juliet has come too here. So we tell him, you know, what the problem is. Then Dr. Woodall has asked to see him personally in her private office. Okay, great. She knows what's going on. That's wonderful. Then, so they stay in there for about 5 minutes. He comes back out. He says that he needs to go to the emergency right now, and it's the closest hospital is Glendale Adventist. Fine. We go in the wheelchair. I'm taking Bodie with me. Actually, he's not as bad as usual because I'm able to carry him. He doesn't have to be in restraints like he had been in the past. So I take him in the wheelchair. We go into the ambulance. Right across the way is Glendale Adventist. At that point, we're in the office there, the doctor's office, and I call Michael. I hate to do it, but I wake him up. So he comes in 30 minutes, because the problem is I still have Janny out there and Juliet in the lobby while I'm with Bodie, and Juliet doesn't drive. So Michael comes, switches places with me, which we're used to doing. I mean, we've been doing this for years, right, where I'm there, he comes to relieve me, or he's there, I relieve him. We've got this down.
Right. And
so
you
anyway,
guys and you guys live separately still, right? Each
no,
one
no,
with one
we don't.
Child. Oh, so you move back in together to keep the kids together now?
Yes, we are back together, and we have been for 2.5 years.
Right.
Only because we don't have the same problem that we did before.
Oh.
Janny is no longer violent toward Bodie, and Bodie is the one that acts out in his, you know, illness, but it doesn't affect Janny because he self-harms.
Right, okay.
He's more than, he doesn't attack, he self-harms to the point of causing himself to bleed.
Wow.
He can tear his own flesh apart in that manic state.
Wow.
So,
wow.
It's actually worse than Janny. Believe it or not, it's worse than Janny. The
wow.
first time around, I had Janny. I didn't know what I was doing. And I also had an infant in my arms at the same time. So I was going nuts. Michael was going, we didn't know what we were doing. We put her in the hospital. The hospital was a bad situation at BHC Alhambra. I could go on and on, which I do on my show, Bible or Nation Radio at 11 a.m. And there are shows archived, just real quickly, in latalkradio.com, where you can hear all that is wrong with the mental health care system, not just for me, but other families who have gone through the exact same thing, even worse than we have.
Right.
So I just wanted to say that, too.
Okay,
anyway, Janny, so go ahead.
No, just finish the story.
Okay. So, yeah, I do want to, this is, okay, so then I leave, Michael takes over, and I take Janny to the Burbank Mall, where she has a great time, fantastic, Juliet stays with Michael. At that point, he gets in touch with Dr. D'Antonio, who is the head of child psychiatric at UCLA. He tells Michael there's no need for him to go inpatient at this time. He needs to go, he can be treated outpatient. Or Dr. Woodall needs to raise the Seroquel. Okay, so Michael ends up leaving after he hears this. He gets the nurse in, the doctor, and all that. So he leaves to get Bodie home. Bodie's home by 5. I meet Janny, and with Janny, I meet them all home here at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. At 2 a.m., we get the knock on the door from DCFS, the pound on the door, I should say, from the Department of Child and Family Services. There is an allegation being made actually, there's three allegations being made. I can't remember the third one, but I know the...
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, exactly, because what they do, DCFS is another tool in this whole mental health care system, because they actually, and people may not know this, but there is a quota they need to make in order to keep federally funded. So if they make that quota, which is taking kids out of the home, then they're doing well. They're making, you know, their money and everything's great. The problem that I have with this, I don't mind being investigated in the home. I don't mind other people if they're investigated. Okay, that's fine. But then these people, these DCFS workers, are nowhere to be found inside of the placements that they put children who die accidentally for various reasons, like you saw in the Kelly Thomas situation in Fullerton. Right. They died accidentally because the staff misinterprets their behaviors that are a result of their mental illness as behavior.
Right.
And they fight back, or they hit the wall, whatever. It's marked off as an accidental death. This happens to children and adults inside these facilities. DCFS is not on site. Neither is Adult Protective Services. No one is on site in these places. That's the problem I have.
Wow. So
anyway,
it's like, yeah,
so
in addition to having all the problems with the kids and everything, now you have to deal with the system and fight a system that's fighting you. Yeah.
Exactly. So what I've done, I've done is I've reported on them. As they report on me, I report on them. So I take footage on them as I'm talking to them, and I ask them questions like, do you know what's going on BHC Alhambra? No. At the same time, I'm handed a paper of where I can take Bodie, DHC Alhambra.
Oh, God.
I find the humor in this.
Yeah,
but at
it's
the same
not funny.
Time, you know,
yeah.
What can I say?
I know, Susan. Well, you definitely give us a lot to think about here. And your husband also wrote a book January 1st, and that's because Jenny is January. That's her name.
Oh.
Yes,
and,
that's correct.
And so, I mean, if you guys wanna really read about Susan and Michael's story and their kids, it's a great read, and I think it'll open up your eyes to a lot of things we don't even know exist. You know, and,
exactly. And let me tell you something. I didn't know it existed either. I used to do traffic and news reports and other stations. And let me tell you this. This is a little secret. They just rip and read. They just take what's in what they see as news in the paper, and they rewrite it to fit their voice. There are no investigative reporters anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Woodward and Bernstein anymore. What there is just a bunch of people that are getting paid, and they don't want to lose their salaries. In all fairness, they don't want to lose their salaries, just to basically make the copy fit their voice so they can say they're a reporter.
Wow. Wow, Susan. Well, you know, there's a lot to learn from you. I think you've been through hell and back a few times. And,
yes.
And that's why
I am so proud. I want to say I'm so proud that you give me the freedom of speech, because I have never felt better in my life than working for you and being able to speak freely.
That's awesome.
I love it.
That's awesome.
It's my therapy. And guess what? All the psychologists that told me to empower myself, guess what? I'm doing it.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So, well, Susan Schofield, if you guys want to listen to the show, it's Bipolar Nation, Sunday at 11 a.m. right here on LA Talk Radio. Also, the book, January 1st, you can get that everywhere. And, Susan, any other thing you want to, if someone wants to get a hold of you, where can they find you? On Facebook, I know.
They can find us. Oh, yes. The Jani Foundation page on Facebook. What we do, we have actually gotten a nonprofit started. We're about a year now into it, where what we do is we provide free socialization events for special needs kids and their families. And these events include Halloween parties. They're all free. Food is free. The event is free. Everything is free for the kids and their families, as well as their friends, because our whole motto is socialization over isolation, because most of these kids don't get birthday parties. They don't get invited anywhere because, first of all, the parents, they feel they're scared of the judgment that they'll get because their child looks totally normal or typical, neurotypical on the outside, and then why are they acting that way? You're raising a spoiled brat. And then you have the other side of the coin where, you know, the child is afraid to socialize too. And it just, what we're doing is we're bringing comfort to all the families that are living like we are.
Amazing, amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everybody go out and check it out. The website again?
Well, it's on Facebook, and it's also January, JaniFoundation.org, J-A-N-I Foundation.org. Okay. That's our website.
Sounds good. And everybody who wants to get a hold of Susan on Facebook, you can do that and get more information, I'm sure. I know Susan's always helpful to other people with similar problems. So,
And, you know, I got to put out there real quick before we go here. It helps me just as much as it helps everybody else.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And maybe that's your journey in this lifetime, you know.
It is. It absolutely is. And yeah. I've never felt more fulfilled than doing what I'm doing right now. But it is the hardest job in the world.
Right.
I will tell you that right now. It is the hardest job I have ever done personally.
I'm sure. In fact, this is trying.
My husband would like to sign up and go to Afghanistan at this point.
Really, huh?
So that's... you know?
Oh, wow.
What can I say?
Yeah, yeah. All right, Susan, well, all we can do is really wish you the best, you and the kids and Michael. And I hope, you know, I mean, like, once you find the right medication, I think for the most part, it makes things a lot easier. And,
yes, it does. And I can see that from my daughter. And that also, if she was not doing well at this point, I would be in far worse shape. But right. Because she is doing well, I can actually look at Bodhi and know, okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
You know, we're just not there yet, but we will get there. So that's what keeps me going.
Right. Mm-hmm. Awesome, Susan. Well, thank you so much for calling in. And
thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I appreciate
it, Mia. I appreciate it, Sam.
Okay, Susan. Well, we'll talk to you soon. Take care.
That sounds good. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I'm like absolutely
those are some
speechless.
Stories, right?
I can't even
just think about it.
Life is like.
When you have one or two children that are totally healthy, it's a handful.
Yeah.
Then you have one child who's mentally ill and with something as severe as
schizophrenia. I mean, that's
And a severe case of that. And I'm telling you, they've been on Dr. Phil, they've been on Oprah, they've been everywhere because her case stands out so much.
Wow.
And so then to discover that your second child has similar problems, my God.
I know, not one, but two. That's just so...
Takes up your entire life and more. Yeah. You know, just constantly going to doctors and hospitals and shit. I mean, my God, you know. Anyway. So thank you, Susan, for that. Let's change the topic a little bit. So I was telling you about the coffee cup here. So I always
like
to bring my coffee every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went out of town. My maid was there on Friday. And so this morning I'm looking for the mug, and I can't find it anywhere. I'm like turning all my cupboards inside out. I'm like,
what
the hell happened
to
this?
The lucky mug.
I remember I put it in a dishwasher or something. So I thought the maid must have taken it, I would say. And I thought, why would she take it? Of all the things in the house that she could take, why would she take the coffee
bowl? I know.
Right? So I'm awkward. Like totally puzzled. I'm like, I don't know what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I come in here this morning. Sure enough, it's sitting right here on my desk in my office.
Oh, boy.
And so this is coffee from Thursday.
Oh,
with
nice.
A little milk, but it doesn't smell and there's no mildew yet, so or bacteria or anything. But obviously,
gosh.
I'm not drinking my coffee this morning, so that's the story there.
Wow, well that's quite a story, Sam.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you found your lucky cup. Safe and sound.
Yes, right here. And that I can trust my maid again. That's important.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I'm happy for you.
So how was your weekend? Did you have any exciting things happening?
It was great. I had my photo shoot.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was
with
awesome.
With what's his name that was here?
No. It was my other my group shoot. So it was another like all day.
Oh wow!
Photo shoot, yeah.
with a bunch of women and stuff.
Uh huh.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
How many people are in the shoot? like 10 or something?
Gosh, maybe 20, 15, 20.
20 people, my God.
20, like, you know, maybe, like, I don't know, I made like 15 models and 20 photographers or something.
Oh, I see. Okay, so 20 photographers. And so what, they, all the pictures are like of all the women together? Or is it like, so it's an event, right?
No. It's like you basically, you know, how they have it is there's like a sheet, you know, like a sign-up sheet. And then there's specific time slots. See, I already had my first one, you know, pre-booked because people can, like, pre-book you.
I see.
And then you go and then you fill up the rest of the slots, you know.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's kind of sad because, like, some of the girls, like, don't really, you know, book up their slots. And that's how you get paid, you know, if you book your slots. If it's for the one-on-ones.
Right.
You know, so there's tons of photographers. And what they do, like, the beginning is just kind of like free shooting, you know, and then they just kind of like all like get to know the models and be like, oh, I like shooting this girl. She's good. I'd be willing to, you know, pay her to do like a one-on-one shoot with, you know, the wardrobe that I want her to wear and in this, you know, location that I want her to be. And, you know, and then they set it up that way. So then they write down, you know, their name on your time slot on the sheet.
Right. So, yeah, so some girls, it's probably they should not be models. That's why they don't book, you know.
Yeah.
Not everybody should be
models. Some girls are just running around naked, like, you know, because they do like nude shoots and lingerie and all that. I'm like, nope, I prefer to keep my clothes on or my bikini
with that,
on. Thank you very much.
You can't compete with that, though.
It's just like some girls are just so like desperate. Yeah. I feel like you're like, really? You're gonna okay? You know? Oh, okay. Well, I'll be naked. Then you want to book my slot? Like, oh, okay. But thankfully, I for the second time booked up all my slots right away.
Wow. Yeah, there
so
you go.
So that was pretty
exciting.
Where you belong. I didn't even see the sheets. Like another photographer told me.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, hey. He's like, oh, you're me. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, he's like, oh, your slots are booked up already.
Wow.
And I was like, what? Really? I haven't even gone over there. I haven't even made it to the table to get my sheet. And apparently all the photographers had, you know, signed me up. So
that must make you feel good, huh?
It does. Yeah. It makes that's one thing about these shoots is that they make you feel so amazing and
right.
so confident and so, you know, beautiful and sexy, and it's so awesome.
Yeah.
You know,
I know,
it's
to
great.
Get all the attention and everything.
Yeah, because there's so many girls, too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of females there, you know. And
a lot of beautiful women
in
this town.
And that's the thing,
huh?
too. Like, sometimes, you know, it is a little scary because it's like, okay, well, then people ask you, what's your minimum? Like, you know, like, or what are you, your maximum? Like, what are you willing to do? You know, and I'm like, well, definitely not, like, nudity or anything like that. No, like, lingerie, you know, nothing. Like, just bikini.
Right.
And that's where I, you know, that's our clothing, and that's where I draw the line.
Right.
You know, sometimes I think like, oh no, like, you know, they're not going to want to book me because I won't get naked. But no, sure enough, I, you know, right away had my slots booked. So
good for you. You see,
gratifying.
so you have more to sell than just a naked body.
Exactly.
Obviously, yeah.
And I've personality.
Yeah, don't sell yourself
and there's,
cheap.
You know, there's a lot of other people there too within the industry. It's not just, you know, photographers and models that are there. It's other, you know, big time like producers and other people. And, you know, I really got the chance to do some good networking and other aspects of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah, I'm excited. It was a really, really productive work day. I think I got some really awesome photos. And,
yeah, that's the thing. Not only do you get paid, but you have great photos of yourself and everything. And
you
it
know,
can help you get other
got
jobs.
Got a little cash, so it's
good. So you're
nice.
Living the life, you see?
It's nice.
Yeah. You got LA by the balls.
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
Almost. I'm definitely working on it. But yeah, it was very exciting.
Yeah.
Went very well.
But, you know, I got to share this story with you, one more story from Vegas. And this one is sort of like a lesson for me and for people. To make a long story short, I was just driving around. You know, I was looking for something to eat. And so I'm driving around town. It's like 5:30, 6 o'clock, so the traffic's pretty heavy. And I'm like on one small street, relatively speaking, and I get to the intersection. And I'm waiting for the traffic to pass so I can turn left. And I turn left, and as I'm about to complete the turn, I see a man like 3 feet from me crossing the crosswalk.
Oh, Oh, yikes.
And he stopped, like, to pick up his glasses. They fell or something. I don't know.
Oh,
but
my God.
But me, I mean, I was, like, so close to killing the guy. And I couldn't see him because I had, you know how when you sit in front, behind the wheel, there's like on your left corner, there's a blind spot of the frame of the car,
mm-hmm.
you know, like between the windshield and the side view mirror.
Right.
And that's exactly where he was. And I couldn't see him. So, and it was dark too. So by the time I'm turning, it's like, I thought to myself, Mia, shit, you know, this is like, if I had hit him, I would be, I mean, my whole life would have ended that moment.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I mean, killing a person and going to jail for life, it's
I know.
It's that's unbelievable. So and that's the thing, you know, it's like that's what scares me the most is like to be in jail, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then I'm just like playing in my mind what would have happened, you know?
Right.
I mean, it like I would be plucked out of my life into like all your freedom is taken away from you. Mm-hmm. You're thrown in a slammer and
yeah. Yeah, no, something similar like that happened to me too. It was at night and it's like this thing, you can't see the people
because right.
you've got the headlights coming at you the other way. And then as soon as there's a break in that, right. you go to like go, you know, and I think, you know, I don't know if this guy was waiting for like the other crosswalk, but all of a sudden he just ran
right.
out, you know, because it starts counting down.
Right, so they
you know,
run.
And then, yeah, exactly. and he just started running. I'm like, dude, I mean, of course, I, you know, stopped and, you know, swerved around him. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's just so dangerous. And that's the thing, too. Like, as, like, pedestrians, you have to pay attention also.
You really.
I think, you know what I mean? It's like, because these are cars, you know. And I, you know, like I said, I walk a lot and, you know, stuff like that. But it's like, yeah, I always look and, like, make sure. Because it's like, yeah, you're the pedestrian. You have the right of way. But still, it's like, don't be stupid. Some people yeah. are so dumb.
They
like,
don't look. They these, just jump
they
out.
They don't.
Yeah,
I know.
I
was like, dude, you have to see that there's... You know what I mean? Also,
yeah.
these cars want to go. If they're waiting for a long time, they see a gap in the road, they're gonna whip it.
Exactly.
You know, to try to make that light. So
yeah.
it's, you know, it's like
often,
you, also
you know,
have
I try
a,
to,
you know, have your mind about you.
Yeah.
In that situation,
you know,
when you're a pedestrian.
You have to make eye contact with the drivers, you know, when they turn mm-hmm. and shit like that, you know. It's very, very dangerous. But, you know, so to me, it was like a lesson because I realized, you know, you got to be really careful. I mean, operating yeah. a car is a very dangerous thing.
Mm-hmm.
Requires a lot of responsibility. So definitely you don't want to text and be distracted. And that's the thing. I was not texting. I was not being distracted.
Right.
I've made a decision not to even look at my phone mm-hmm. when a text comes in
yeah.
until I
you know,
until
I'm out of the that's
car.
Now a law in Illinois too. My mom got one of those little like speaker things you
right.
know, put in her car uh-huh. because they just passed that, you know, you cannot be before it was just in the city of Chicago
right.
and the suburbs you were allowed to like text and, you know,
oh,
be
really?
On your phone and all that. You can talk on your phone and drive. But yeah, just this year now they passed
right.
something
and
where you have to have
the,
you know, the speaker in your car.
Yeah.
If you're going to be on the
it's
phone.
It's like every time you just glance at your phone, even to change the song that's playing
right.
or anything, you know. That's why my phone stays in its case and I don't pick it up until I mm-hmm. get out of the car, you know, because I know myself and I get distracted
right.
with it. And but that's the case is that even without being distracted by anything, it's so dangerous out there, you know. It's like
mm-hmm.
sometimes I'm just thinking maybe I shouldn't leave the house. It's so scary. You
oh,
know? But you got to live, no. of course.
Oh, yeah,
know.
Of course.
Yeah.
And also just kind of a funny story with that. It's that, you know, my mom, you know, she's not really, you know, used to the whole, you know, like Siri thing. And I'm not either. I don't even use it. But ever since now, she has this speaker thing in her car. So whenever
right.
she's talking to me, you know, in the car, she's just, you know, every time I pick up, she's always just cracking up. I'm like, what's up? She's like, oh my gosh, that took me forever to get through to you because it's all, you have to use all the voice activated.
Right.
So she'll say, you know, call Mia.
Yeah,
right. And it'll be like, calling, and it'll say like my ex-boyfriend's name or
I
something.
Know,
and they're like, no. There's like, no, like, no.
Up.
And then you gotta hang up and be like, call Mia. And then it would start calling like, my uncle Marshall or something. Like
I know it's crazy.
Like,
I have that in my car too, you know. And sometimes you just don't want to use the voice activation because it calls the wrong person.
I know, but
and there's no confirmation of it. I mean, who is the genius that created this that doesn't give you a confirmation?
I know. We'd be like, uh-oh. I'm like, who'd you have to call this time before finally wow. getting through to me? But on it, like, now she realized the trick. It's easier if she says Maya instead of Mia.
Right,
because
right.
even though it's spelled M-I-A, like, I don't know, whatever. So if she says call, you know, Maya.
Exactly. You gotta speak its language.
Yes. And, you know, it's just so funny because she will go through like so many different people before it finally calls me. It's hilarious.
And if it's somebody you really don't want to call, man, that's embarrassing.
It's like, what do you say? Oh, sorry, I was trying to call my daughter. The voice activation doesn't work. Whoops.
All right. Well, we're out of time, folks. Mia, we're out of time. There's so many more things I wanted to talk about today.
I know. Me too.
But we're
going
to have to leave some for
such
tomorrow.
Such a long weekend.
I know.
That's okay.
An exciting weekend. Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. Thanks, Susan, for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mia.
Thank you.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam in the Morning with Mia, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for the show or if you'd like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please send an email along to sam@latalkradio.com. Sam in the Morning with Mia is a production of LA Talk Radio, where we say what we want.